This podcast may contain segments that some audiences find disturbing. Audience discretion is advised.
You know, I never thought I'd advocate for the killing of a child that wasn't, like, possessed or something, but,
Previously, on Sins of Salvation, aliens invaded the Earth 125 years ago. Now, the others are gone, and humanity is reclaiming a broken Earth. This is the post-post-apocalypse. And these are the sins of salvation. We met a group of children in the town of Smallpile, a former mining colony that recently re-caught the attention of New Alexandria. They learned that the New Alexandrians were decreeing that the shrine would be taken down and removed from the town later that evening. They found a nearby cave. Inside, they found evidence that someone has been doing experiments on the crawlfish. The party decided it was best to alert the town guard, where they then came across Phoenix Hawk. Ultimately, he wrung everything he could out of Josh. While this was happening, Crevice investigated the not-so-abandoned house. Therein, he found a large cache of secreted-away weapons. He told his father of this grim discovery, who then informed him that Crevice's mother, Emerald, was missing. Then, while the party was leaving Smallpile, they stopped to check out the shrine that seemingly was causing all this fuss. Their admiration was cut short when a disgruntled man, Renard Toiler, threatened the guard. Having reconvened, the party met with the seer, yet their meal was cut short when a knock came at the door. Two conflagrants to escort the seer back to town for questioning. Not, however, before the seer was able to inform the party where the weaver, Tisa, might be. The party set out looking for this Tisa, noticing a recurring face of someone following them through the grass. Eventually, they came across a dead oak tree, with the silhouette of a woman standing upon it. The woman's dress revealed itself to be a large pair of bat-like wings she took to the air and flew away. Coming then to a certain impasse, Rhea revealed that she had an ability to connect with the old world. This allowed her to see that the Shock Hills were in reality collapsed buildings. She followed a path that took them to the Weaver's home. She informed the party, specifically Crevice, that his mother, Emerald, went into the nearby ruins. Crevice immediately darted away. Party took off after him. However, they were informed that they should keep an eye out for the homunculus sponge, the sort of useful fest used in some of Tisa's brews to help calm people down. The party made their way to the square. Exploring the ruins further, they found an old building that was more cave-like now, full of verdant and virulent fest and strange structures, and inside of that, two horrible ferals. After a brief but daring fight, the ferals were put down, but not before a wound ousted Braun as a mutant. Delving into the fest-covered ruins, Crevice discovered his mother trapped under some rubble. Guarding the door was an amalgamate. A person from the old world that has been fused with building and now suffers an unending, tortured existence incapable of dying. The party tried to help the amalgamate, but nearly brought the building crashing down around them in the process. Regretfully, they had to leave it behind as we retrieved Emerald and stepped back out into the ruined square.
Alrighty, well, we have the guest player of my upstairs neighbors pounding on the floor, but with that, we are going to go ahead and hop right on in. So, yes, as previously stated, you guys had a harrowing battle with a couple of ferals, and then even more harrowing dealing with all the fest and the amalgamate, but ultimately you were able, while unsuccessful in breaking the amalgamate away from its resting place, you were able to get Crevice's mom out. And so now you all find yourselves, you all find yourselves basically out back in front of the ruins where you previously were. There's a small fire of sorts. I hesitate to call it a campfire of sorts, as it is literally two bodies that have been burning. And you're all in various places kind of hovered around here. I don't have a figure for Crevice's mom because I'm a bad person and forgot to do that, so that's her right now.
How dare you?
Monster.
Anyway, yes, again, I hesitate to call it a fire. At this point, you know, it's getting to be mid-late afternoon, about 2 p.m. The sun's still high in the sky. It's very warm and humid, and there's a certain somber quietness that has kind of washed over you guys in light of everything that's happened. Meanwhile, otherwise, things are still and quiet. There's the occasional breeze. You see the large anemone-like tree to your south swaying in the wind, its filaments kind of dancing on each breeze. Some of the grass sways along with it, and you find yourselves all here assembled. What do you do?
Joshua is still sitting next to the car petting a dog.
Can we please go see Tisa now?
Alright, I think we should get moving on. Wait, actually, the mother's here, right?
Yes, so as you guys would see, gathered as you are, kind of as I have here on the board, feel free to rearrange yourselves as you see fit. But yes, you would see Crevice and his mom kind of tucked away to one corner. And now that you can see her in the light, one, you see Crevice looks very much like a smaller version of his mother. She's wearing a similar kind of earthy colored coveralls, has a nigh identical hard hat, though her headlamp seems to be a bit more busted up. She's got these long frocks of black curly hair, these kind of gray, grayish pale eyes, a couple freckles on her face here and there, but again, it's like a taller, almost spitting image of her younger son. With exception that when it comes down to her right leg, you can now see where some of the cloth has been ripped up, and you can tell she's at this point bandaged it up, and she's kind of standing up, kneeling over from where she was doing that. But she definitely, her leg has been torn up pretty bad from where the rubble fell on it.
Is the blood purple?
It is red.
Oh, good.
So as she's doing this, she kind of stands up and you see her like bite one of the bandage and rip it off and tie it up.
I can't quite say I know why you're here, Crevice, but thank you. If it weren't for you and your friends, I'd probably still be stuck in there. It's not something I want to think about.
There's no problem, Mom. We're here because some stuff's happening in Small Bile, and well, Dad said we probably should leave for a while.
Dad said you should... Oh, no. What's happening? What? Oh, God. Did Renard do something stupid? By the way, Renard is not your father's name.
No.
Right.
I actually don't remember who Renner is. If Crevice has met him or not.
I don't know. No, I don't think that Crevice has.
Crevice just kind of looked confusedly at his mom for a second, and then I don't know who that is.
Okay.
He one of the guys who brought the Weaver?
Is Crevice asking that, or is Will asking that?
That was Crevice.
Oh. You know about Tisa, then. Yes, he's talked to Tisa. It's a long story.
He stole weapons from the guard, I think.
That idiot! You see her, like, eyes kind of going wide, like, definitely kind of almost going red in the face a little bit. Oh, this is getting out of hand. This is getting out of hand. What? You said there's trouble going on. What exactly is happening?
I've only been
gone 2 days, but...
Phoenix showed up, and he's... taking kind of control of the town, and they're taking down the shrine in town, and everybody's getting kind of riled up about it. And we found I think maybe Tisa's old home or Renard's. It was a cave near the water, but they were stealing corn, and then I think they stole weapons and they were making Molotovs. They had a gun, and they had jars of pheromone.
They had a gun.
Yeah.
Who's he been talking to? Oh, God, that's not Tisa.
They had a journal, but I gave that to Dad.
What did the journal say?
It was pretty much just that they stole from the guards, and I think they're planning to do something, maybe in that old house that I have my workshop over.
Did it have any names in it? You gave it to Dad. Okay, I need to go see my friend, and then we need to get home, and I need to talk to Dad. And with that, you see her begin to step forward, and then she immediately, like winces and falls to the ground, kind of clutching her leg. Ah!
Crevice will run over and try and help her.
Oh, ow, okay.
Maybe you should go rest with Tisa.
Yeah,
I know my friends want to talk to her, too, so that's probably just a good time.
Maybe it's not a bad idea.
How loud was the, the groan of pain?
You guys all would have heard it.
Guy's gonna go over and nudge Braun and say, "Hey, I think she could use some help getting around. You don't mind, being a shoulder for her."
Can Rhea do a healing check?
Yeah, you can certainly try.
Try. That's encouraging. Am I still shaken?
No, I'll say you've had long enough that you can be unshaken.
Okay. So yeah, there you go.
Okay, so you got a 5 and an 11. Okay, so the 11, I mean, that's good. So looking at, looking at Crevice's mother, who you guys all would have now picked up that her name is Emerald, she's seemingly treated her own leg, and she's done a fairly good job for it. You gather there's probably not much else you can do for her in this instance. Maybe if you had something to kill the pain, that would help, but otherwise, it's probably about as tended to at the moment as it's going to be.
I do not have any of that.
Prometheus has a first aid kit. Would painkillers be included?
Probably nothing that's going to touch this in its exact circumstance. And, like, as you guys are looking at it, like, yeah, she's bandaged her leg, but you can tell, and she's basically kind of, like, self-splinted it a little bit with, as you look at it, it's kind of this combination of, like, duct tape and, like, a bunch of newspapers, magazines type thing that she's made a makeshift splint out of. But, her leg looks pretty toasted at the moment. Like, it's a bad time.
Well, I still think Bronn should be able to help her get along, at least to teases.
Yeah, Bronn kind of looks, kind of nods, and kind of walks over with his big old footsteps, kind of thung, thung, thung. He kind of walks over. Tisa, or Emerald kind of recognizes him. Oh, hi there, Bronn. You need help? I suppose I'm... maybe. And so he kind of, like, leans down and kind of, like, lets her put her arm over his shoulder and whatnot. Yes, this will help, I think.
Can he carry her? Is he big enough to carry her?
I mean, he does. Honestly, Emerald is not a super big person, so probably.
Yeah.
He's got at least 1.5 times her body weight.
Okay, if need be. All right. It's fine as it is, though, right now.
Well, then, I guess... probably shouldn't wait too long. There's a lot that's seemingly going on. I need to talk to Tisa. Is there anything you kids needed while you're here?
I think you pretty much got it.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's then be on our... let's be on our way.
Easy there. Don't try to put too much pressure on it.
Okay. So, with that... assuming you guys don't want to do anything else, you leave the two bodies behind, which at this point have burned into being little more than skeletons, one of them very large and misshapen compared to the other 2.5-armed one. As you then begin making your way towards, I'm going to say, a direction that's to the right of the screen. You passed, the two husks of old world beetles that are left behind. You pass by the store with a giant duck of some sort, swan of some sort on it. As you guys pass by, Bronn does take a moment to pause and kind of looks longingly at the piano that's in there.
Aww.
Before he kind of sighs a little bit and then continues on. And with that, you guys make your way much the way you came. You pass underneath the boughs of the big anemone-like tree. You make your way over the hills and so forth. And eventually, you find yourselves back on the plain. In the distance, you see the large dead oak tree. But you pass through some of the hills and whatnot, not paying much mind to it. And then your pace is ever so slowed down by the fact that... of course, Emerald is moving at about half pace, so it's taking you guys a little bit as you're moving under and through all this, I should say, as the grass whips past your faces and whatnot. Emerald has to walk particularly gingerly, as it seems like the roots of the grass are almost like pulling at her feet in ways that do not seem pleasant. So, and while this is all going on, I will let somebody, one buddy, roll me a notice check.
Who's got the best notice?
I've got D6.
Who's
got Brent?
All right. Maybe Kravis has better act, but...
I have pretty good notice.
Okay.
Better than D6?
D6 plus 2.
Ooh, that is better.
Spicy.
A plus 2 is substantially better than most rolls. Ooh.
9.
6 and a 9. Nice. So that is technically an ace.
That is nice.
So, yes, while this is going on, Krevis, you do notice particularly as you're walking by the big tree, you notice the face of someone, and like you've noticed these faces a couple times before. You actually start to recognize this a little bit. It's actually someone you saw earlier in the day. It seems like it was one of the kids. You don't necessarily know his name. That was bullying Braun. You see him for a moment, and for a moment, you guys make the briefest of eye contact before they tuck away in the tree.
Krevis will immediately point them out. Isn't that... We know that guy, that kid. I was Where? One of the kids that... over by the tree. It was one of the kids that was bullying Braun earlier. What's he doing out here? Did he follow us?
Now, Errol, I don't want to do this to you again, but I would like to yell out the character's name. Like, hey, we see you out there. Get out here.
You mean you're going to... well, actually, you didn't see the character's name. No, you didn't see the character's face.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
It was only Krevis that saw them.
Oh, okay. Hey, we see you guys out there. Come out. Don't specify a name.
Okay, you shout this. A moment or two goes by. Emerald kind of squinting. Who are you talking to?
There's some... who is it that was in the over there? Exactly? Do you remember?
Do I know them, Errol?
You know them. I'm tempted to say Krevis doesn't necessarily know their name. However, it was a rather unassuming-looking 10-year-old.
Okay.
I don't think I remember his name.
Did he mention it to me? I'm sorry, I didn't hear if he did. Did he mention it to me that was the kids that was bullying him?
Yes.
Okay, cool. It was the kids that were bullying Braun earlier. They're over there hiding. I'm not sure why.
Braun, someone was bullying you.
He
doesn't really say anything.
Yeah. Well, if they're not going to come out, we might as well just keep going. They want to follow, they can follow.
And it's worth noting, no one answered your calls to them to fight or anything like that. So, what do you guys do?
Did you say they were in the tree?
It was like they had their head around it. And again, Krevis was the one who saw this. But basically, they were kind of looking out from around it, then they tucked their head back in. And then, you didn't actually get a good look at them.
They're over
dressed around here tall enough to hide in.
Very much.
Ah, then they're probably long gone. No sense chasing after a fight.
Yeah, let's just get to Tisa.
Okay, then. So, with that, ignoring the fact that you saw them, well, not ignoring, but recognizing that there's probably not much you can do, you guys do continue to the, I believe it's west. Sure enough, you guys crest one of the hills, and, you know, it's been about maybe a 15-minute walk. You've also long since passed that old sign telling people to avoid the ruins. And eventually, you come across, and you see, again, what is the dilapidated ruins of the old gas station, as it were. Out front, of course, is the rack with a fish drying in the sun, and... this is the last place you spoke to Tisa. As you get closer, you know, you can tell part of the roof of where the beetles would go to be fed has collapsed down a little bit. There's an extension of the building closest to you guys that the windows are all shattered, the door is open and cast away. But as you get closer, you recognize now some of these windows are still standing with their rare plate glass. Others have woven textile-type things covering it, and there's even a makeshift wooden door kind of covering where the old door to this facility would have once been.
Is the glass in the window all in one piece?
On one of them, yes.
Huh.
On the window that's closest to the right of the door.
What about the other one?
Shattered. And that's where it's got the kind of wooden textile things covering it.
Ah, Joshua's going to take a small piece of the glass and put it in his pocket.
Okay, you are able to do so. It is not at all sharp because the eons have worn it down to be quite dull. And it's more brown than it is translucent at this point.
Nice.
So, at this point... Emerald, I keep wanting to call her Tisa, kind of unhooks herself from Braun, stumbles forward. Thank you, I've got it from here, Braun. Okay. As she then kind of steps forward, you hear kind of grunt, but bite through the pain, as she just pushes open the door. Tisa, I'm back. I got hurt real bad. And muffled, you hear, ah, dear, you're back. Oh, no, what have you gotten your... Oh, dear. All right, come along in. Set your bag down. As You see Emerald walk in through the door, and then passing through the glass, you now see Tisa, seemingly this gas station, right? You know, it's got like basically like what would have been the counter with the cash register, and she's coming, like, stepping in through doors that would have, like, led to the back kitchen at one point, as you then see Emerald basically drop the backpack she was carrying next to the door and kind of hobbles in and props herself up on the counter. You guys are all still standing outside. What do you do?
I'm gonna go in.
I imagine, yeah, Abe would also, Abe would look at Theus and be like, you looking to stay outside or come in? Do you care? I'll stay outside if you want.
I'll go in. I'm gonna see if they need my first aid kit.
Okay, yeah, awesome. As I proceed in.
Alrighty.
Yeah,
so
Joshua,
with that,
I'll follow him.
Everyone, so with that, everyone piles on in. And yeah, you guys do notice there's kind of this immediate, as you step in, there's this dusty, but fragrant, almost like incense type smell as you walk in. Kind of like a sagey incense that's burning. And you guys approach the counter where now Emerald has hoisted herself up and has kind of gingerly set her leg on the table. Tisa, meanwhile, is examining, you know, Tisa again with her long red hair, much like Rhea's, but her extra digited hand and somewhat wider face.
Yeah, dear, you've certainly done a number there. I might be able to do something to at least keep some of the infection out of it, but, you got that there in the ruins, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I got your sponge. It's in my backpack. Oh, good. I hope it's worth it. I can tell you've got a bunch of fest all over smeared along your trousers here. This isn't good. Well, I had some inoculate before I went in. Hopefully that'll help. I'll try and do what I can for you. It's not going to be pretty, though.
As you then see Tisa, she kind of like rolls up her sleeves and whatnot, and you see now from her left hand where there's a bunch of hair kind of growing out of it, it almost begins to get like this white, foamy texture kind of sprouting out of it as she then kind of begins to kind of smear that along Emerald's leg where it's been wounded, and immediately it kind of like hardens into this scab-like thing over it.
Alrighty, well, that should help it heal a little bit faster, but... I'm afraid there's not much else I can do here, but I'll at least brew you up something for the pain. And I suppose I can get to work on that there sponge as well. You're needing something to help calm people's emotions, right?
Yeah, apparently it's gotten a lot worse. Renard is apparently being stupid again.
Hey, that doesn't surprise me too much. As she then kind of starts walking over to the backpack. Ah, little children, well, I see you all found your friend there. I'm assuming you're the ones who helped her out of it then.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We killed some ferals too. They were pretty nasty folks.
Hey, well, ferals are not a very friendly sort. They're pretty feral. But good strong little warriors like yourselves, I'm sure, dealt with them easily enough.
I lit them on fire.
Lady over here. Say that again.
I lit them on fire.
Oh. Hey. And she kind of like makes forward like she's gonna like snub your nose a little like playfully kind of like poke your nose a little bit. Hi, and you're just a little conflagrate now, aren't you?
Oof.
not really.
Oh. Well, that's a good thing then. As she then walks over and like begins to zip through the backpack. Ah, yes, very well. You got a mighty lot of it. I guess you found it in that one plant building. I think that's what it was. Ah, very well. Makes sense that it'd be growing in there. And she then brings it. And the rest of you guys, you didn't actually get to see it, but basically, like, the majority of this pretty good-sized backpack, the whole center hollow of it, she, like, pulls out this probably about the size of, like, 3 loaves of bread type thing. It takes up a good chunk of the backpack, just kind of wrapped up in this paper type thing. And she begins carrying it to the back where she's got the kitchen.
All righty now. Tell you lads what... As she then yells out, Alrighty then, Shelley, Sonny, we've got company over. Why don't you come out and play with them a little bit?
And you guys, for a moment, you don't hear too much. And then kind of like running to the edge of the door, you see these two faces of children about your age kind of poking their heads out. Two very human-looking children. They've each kind of got this tawny skin. Their hair is kind of brown and whatnot. One of them smiles, and they've got these big buck teeth. Ooh,
aww.
Who are you guys?
Just some guys from Small Piles, some, you know,
Oh, small pile. Is that the Zamandrian town?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's.
Oh,
what
we were told not to go there.
I see.
Probably for the best.
You see one of them. This little girl. She's whereas one of them had kind of the brown hair. This little girl. She's got this like almost bright blonde hair. She kind of comes up. And she kind of stands up, walks up to you, Abraham, and then kind of like hands behind her back, looks up. What's it like in the town with the Zamandrians?
I mean, there's a lot of people. There are a lot of, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out. I'm not sure what it'd be different, but from
here.
Are
they your clan?
There's several clans.
Whoa.
There's like too many to count. Of clans. Whoa. that are in small pile.
Wow. We had a clan once. Mommy says we can't go play with them anymore. We had to leave.
I see.
After the meanies came.
Ooh, all right. Well, you seem happy here, which is nice at least.
Yeah, we got a pet. You want to see him?
Come
on, we'll show you. And then she like grabs your sleeve and starts like tugging you into the kitchen type area.
Abe reluctantly goes, but there's a look on his face of like, oh god, what's their pet gonna be? Like
making assumptions.
So you're getting tugged away. The rest of you, what are you doing?
Theus is curious about this pet. I'll follow Abe in.
Oh no.
Yeah, Josh is just gonna like chuckle and follow along Theus as he's watching these kids pull around Abe.
Rhea's gonna stay with Tisa.
Okay. So, sounds like regardless, most of you guys are filing in to the kitchen. Crevis, are you staying with your mom, or what are you doing?
Oh, no, Crevis is staying with his mother.
Okay. So she's kind of sitting there, kind of humming to herself or whatever. She does kind of prop herself up. I'm gonna go into the kitchen and talk to Tisa a little bit. Why don't you go and play with your friends, though, Crevis?
Will you be okay?
I'm fine. I take care of myself all the time.
I know, but all right.
Hey, you're good. You're a good son. I love you. And she kind of reaches down, kisses you on the head. But Mom's fine, really.
All right. Crevis will reluctantly wander off to go find his friends.
All right. And with that, she does kind of walk with you a little bit till she gets in the kitchen door. And then, yeah, you guys are in that, and you can tell as you walk in here, there's also been kind of, like, a makeshift, like, sheets hanging down or whatever, kind of separating this kitchen-type area into two. But you do see Tisa kind of at basically what would have been a countertop or whatever cleared off, and there's a big sink next to it, and you see where she's got and Rhea, of course, you would see all this, too, mm-hmm. where she's got the big homunculus sponge. As she's got like this knife and she's literally cutting into this big yellow thing that has the vague shapes of like children's faces into it, just cutting like loaves of it off as it kind of makes this sound, cutting through it, and begins then just like sliding it into the sink. You then see Tisa kind of reach down and she's got like this small Bunsen burner type thing under the sink that she begins to turn on. As it is full of water as it begins to, almost like a cauldron of sorts.
Nice.
You then see her begin adding various herbs and whatnot that Rhea, you especially would recognize, like, oh, hey, that's thistle. Or, hey, there's, various, you know, just plants and flora that you recognize from here.
Right. Ah. What are you making?
Well, as I said, I'm making, I call it me brew, but it's, basically... Once a drink, or if you do it right, even if someone breathes it in, it tends to make people a touch more agreeable with you. And our dear friend Emerald here seems fit to have me make it for her, and, well, I would never turn a friend away like that. So,
why would she need that?
Hi, why in fact would we be needing that there, Emerald? As you know, some of the Alexandrians are starting to come back to Smallpile. Hi. And, some of the folks are getting a bit testy. I'm just hoping to try and calm relations down. I thought that might be part of it. Well, you know how I do. Just don't let your Phoenix friend or any of them Bernie boys know that I'm here, and things should be fine. Don't worry, don't worry. I've made very careful
that everyone stays silent on it. I didn't even want Renard to know you were here, but he followed me. He's a creep. But we're trying to keep things under wraps.
Who's Renard?
Well... Ah, he's a right bastard is what he is, but he was having that there pest control, so I've been helping him out, and he brings me Karn, so that's all there is to it. Yeah, something along the lines of that. He's a mean man, Rhea. Best to be avoided. Or he's mostly just really dumb.
Is there some type of role that I could roll? Like a common knowledge, just to see if I know of this individual from Smallpile? If he is from...
You know him.
I do?
He about pushed over the guards at the shrine.
Oh, that guy.
Oh.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Neat.
Yeah.
So, but hey, Rhea, I know you help out the seer, right? Well, so you have some familiarity with this. I think the adults need to talk for a little bit. Why don't you and Krevis here? I think Tisa, her kids were getting ready to show you guys their new pet. Maybe you guys would like to go see that. Hi, dear. It's the adults need to chew the fat for a little bit, as it were.
Why are you chewing on the fat? That's not good for you.
Hi,
it's not
well,
even
you see,
cold
the fat's
out.
Got all the fat's got, it's real gristly, but it's where all the the fat is, and you mix a little bit of salt in that, and it's quite tasty to chew upon.
But that's not. But it's not even the winter. It's, you don't need the extra warmth right now.
Well, no, but everyone likes a little treat every now and then, don't they? But I tell you what, dear, let me friend and I talk here for a little bit, and then you and I will talk all sorts about making brews and mutants and gathering thistles and things like that.
She sticks her lower lip out a bit in a bit of a pout and says, "Fine," and leaves.
So Rhea, you begin to leave. And Krevis, I'm assuming you're following suit?
Yes, Krevis starts to go with Rhea, but he will turn around and go, just remember, Mom, you're saying that, you know, it's just going to be found that there is that kid from Smallpile that followed us, apparently.
Yes, I noticed that. I don't quite know what to... They're saying another kid from Smallpile followed you out here. We were supposed to keep this a little bit on the down low. Who would that happen to be there?
Oh, Mom, you got it. Incredibly.
Your problem now!
As you leave, she's like, I have no eye. And then you kind of walk away.
He will grin at her just a little bit.
Okay, and it's worth noting, there's some kind of cloth fabrics. It actually matches the vaguely spider silk type stuff that Rhea is wearing that's draped over her shoulders. But you guys walk, and it's not exactly that it's soundproof, but it does create a bit of a divider in this fairly long rectangular kitchen. And now that you guys have walked around, you would see the rest of your party, basically, like, there's a divider in between, like, two halves of the kitchen that has some counter, you know, basically counters line the whole thing, and this counter here in the middle has, like, a big ol', another couple sinks in it or whatever. And in those sinks, they are filled up on water, and you see the two children, whose name were Shelly and Sunny, be like, all right, he's a little bit shy, but sometimes we can get him to come out and play if we do this. And you see him, like, hop up on the counter with a big old ladle, and they just start stirring it in the water. And then eventually, they drag it through, and then they hoist up this big thing, and that is the proper term, this bright red, what you guys would recognize as a crawlfish from before.
Incredible.
This one's probably only about 30 pounds or whatever, but they kind of, like, hoist it up, and then they kind of just, like, drape it over the sink, and now it's just kind of sitting there, its antennas up in the air, its kind of stalk eyes bouncing around a little bit, as this crawlfish is basically just draped over the counter staring at you guys. We call him Claws.
Joshua is going to instinctively reach for his sword, but stop himself partway through the action.
No. Claws is a friend.
Abe, like, maybe even, like, puts his hand up, like, whoa, it's, I think we're good. As he, like, walks over, he's like, Claws, you say? Is his claws, like, rubber banded or something? Are they just out?
No, they're out.
Oh, all right.
Hey, but I mean, they're very, like, passively just draped over the side of the sink.
Abe, are they touching Claws or no?
What do you mean touching Claws?
Like, are they like being like, this is our pet Claws, and they're like,
oh,
like,
yeah. No, you see, so you see the older boy, Sunny, he's actually like, It makes sense with a dog to scratch it under the chin, and this thing's got, like, its weird amalgam of, like, mandibles and antennas that are just kind of, you know, like a lobster has. And he's kind of, like, reaching that up and kind of scratching it under that. He likes the scritches.
I see as I go and I scratch him in the very similar manner.
Okay, as you do that, one of its tentacles kind of comes over and, like, just kind of limply kind of slaps against your face and then bounces off. It just leaves, like, this wet stamp.
His facial expression went to, like, I don't want to say disgust, but it was just, like, yuck. And it just sticks there for a second, that expression, as he just tries to let it pass. And then it's like, you have such a cool pet.
Yeah, he likes you. He licked you. It means he likes you.
Oh, he licked me.
Joshua's in overblown disgust right now.
I look back at the rest of the group, and I'm just like, well, this is really cool pet you have here. Cool.
Does it have any best?
I think we're good, Theus.
I was hoping for a kitty cat.
No, he's not very festy. We had a cat though, but we had to eat it already. So.
Oh.
And that's the little girl Sunny saying that.
This is the point where Theus's face turns to disgust.
sticks there for a second.
If you want though, you can still pet him here. And she like reaches into like behind her. We kept a little bit of its pelt.
No.
And she, like, reaches out. And it's got, like, this really cute, cute, like, gray with black stripes striations on it.
I hate it.
I think I'm good. Thank you, though.
Joshua's just going to let out a loud sigh and cover his face for a moment.
Abe's going to be like, are you planning on eating claws as well?
Not, well, hey, Mom! As you see, Shelly, the older boy, kind of go running off. Mom, are we gonna eat claws? Okay. And then he comes running back.
All right. I'm kind of afraid to ask, but,
not yet.
I feel like, okay. Yeah, okay, I see.
Well, what else do you do with a pet when they're not a pet anymore?
You usually keep them as a pet. You know, I don't want to put any ideas out there.
He frowns.
No, you're fine. I put my hand through his hair and, like, scruffing it. Like, you're good. You guys do what you do. It's fine. You know, everyone does stuff differently. Like, people in Small Pile just do stuff differently, I guess. Thinking that, just trying to assess the situation.
At this point, Sunny kind of pipes up. Oh, are you guys... Do you have pets, too?
Oh, no. Well, I look to Guy. Guy has a pet. And probably, I can't remember the name of Guy's pet, but he's in here with us, right?
It's a good question. I'm not sure, actually.
I'll leave it up to you, because I forgot. I keep forgetting Canis exists, so I will leave it up to you if Canis is inside or outside.
Honestly, Guy is kind of cagey about the fact that one of those bullies is hanging around, and we don't really know anything about why they're here, what they're doing. So he probably has Canis on watch duty outside the gas station.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, I got a dog, and we don't eat them unless times are real bad.
Yeah.
You want to come see him? He's outside.
Ooh, can I?
Sure, just, he got a little mutant blood on him, so don't touch his head or his face too much.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mom said that's what happened to Grandma.
Yeah, his back, his shelf, his belly, his tail, they're all good to pet, though.
Okay, cool. So, I guess with that, you kind of lead them back out. As you guys all are making your way, I guess if you're all going back out through the, not really a door, but the sheets or whatever, Crevice, I'm going to say you're the first one to kind of exit back out through that, if that's okay.
Sure.
And as you walk out, you hear the two adults are muttering quietly. As you come over, you hear them kind of hush up, but not before you hear the words about, you know, it's probably going to cause mutation.
Ooh.
Crevice will definitely look over at his mom, but he's not going to say anything at the moment.
Gotcha. They both kind of, they don't say anything. Oh, You done playing with old claws there, are ya?
Yeah, it was real fun.
He got to snipping you, any? He was being real feisty the other day.
No, I'm glad he wasn't. He licked
Gabe got
me,
licked.
Apparently.
Well, that means he's tasting you. So,
hear that, Abe? You're tasty.
Alright, well, we're gonna go outside for a little bit. So we'll go do that.
Gotcha. You guys do that. And immediately, as you guys get out there, Shelly's like, oh, it's a dog! And then Sunny just kind of like squeezes with delight and then goes running up. And she's not much taller than Canis, as she just goes running up and just like tackles him around the neck and like buries her face kind of into the top of his head as he then like looks up and just starts licking her in the face.
Blood! Blood!
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
She kind of sits back a little bit. Do I have any on me? And she appears to be mostly clear of it. Yeah, you did a pretty good job of getting it off Canis earlier.
Here. Guy will wipe her face a bit. Yeah, just in case.
Oh.
One that sticking around. Yeah, so keep away from his head. I mean, he likes it, but he needs a bath first, a proper bath.
Ah, yeah, that's like when that's like when Sunny got sprayed with one of the sprayers. Real stinky. Hey, you said you weren't going to talk about that. Well, you were.
Do they mean skunks?
What?
Sprayer, you would know, actually, Guy would be more familiar with the term than you guys are, but yes, it would be something roughly analogous to a skunk.
Okay. So a mutated skunk.
Basically.
Nice.
Generally, it's going to be a general skunk's plan, but sometimes they've got an extra pair of legs or an extra tail.
They shoot fast, you know?
Not typically, to your knowledge.
They shoot across the acid.
Say that again, Andrew, sorry?
They shoot a caustic acid.
Yes. No. Melts flesh off the bone.
And it stinks.
That would be
bad.
Even more dangerous, Fauna.
Maybe you guys will get to see one.
Skunks really leveled up in this setting.
I might have been teasing about that bit, but now I don't know.
Hey, if we can get advances, why can't skunks?
I imagine the meme of like the DM, is that a warehouse? And he's just like, a warehouse? What do you mean? Like, is it gonna turn into a house? Furiously writes it down. Like, no, but it might now.
So,
now that you mention it, actually.
Yeah.
A bugbear, isn't that? Is that a bear with pincers? It is now.
Alrighty then. So, with that, you guys all have a moment kind of playing with the dogs and such as it are. And yeah, you gather Shelly and Sunny. They seem very sweet, innocent children. Every so often, though, you know, you hear them describing their lives and as you guys kind of hang out. And I'm just kind of accelerating this for the sake of brevity, because I know we've only got about 30 minutes left. You know, you would gather, they talk a little bit of their home life, how, you know, they were all used to be part of this big clan that, you know, they always walked around a little bit, but a bunch of meanies came, and they each kind of recount this this game that they all shouted, the meanies, this Boom Chaka game.
Oh, no.
But their mom made them all play a game of hide and seek, and they had to leave the clan for a little while, and they might not get to see him for a little bit. But after they visit over here in these Zamandrian lands for a little bit, they're going to be able to go back home and see their friends and family.
Oh.
And so that's why we came here. And then the big, nice seer fella, he came, and he'll help mom find this place. And then we've just been real quiet, but we were starting to get hungry there for a little bit. But then this guy and your mom, Emerald, she came, and they started bringing us corn, and we got to play around with some of the crawfish, and that's where we got claws. And mom says that she can help make him friendlier, or can make him stay away from the food and stuff for the people of Small Pile. And so. But we were told to stay away from there, so we don't go over there very much. But we just play here.
Probably for the best.
So. And do we recognize these two as definitely the people that the kids that were watching us before?
You don't seem to recognize them as that.
Okay.
So they aren't the gnomes.
Yeah, the gnomes.
What's a gnome?
Well, they're like small... They're like people that don't grow from being the size of a kid.
And they have pointy hats.
Yes, they usually have pointy hats.
It's like a little goblin with a beard.
Sunny is kind of wide-eyed listening to this, and then you see Shelly, the kind of older boy with brown hair. He kind of like, aha, I knew it! Sunny, you're a gnome! She's like, no, I'm not! I don't have a beard! You're a gnome!
I mean, it's only when you gotta... I'm trying to think of a way of putting it. It's like if adults didn't grow past being kids.
Oh, I don't think we're adults. No.
How old are you guys?
Oh, I'm... What's the one that comes after five?
Six?
See, you mean six?
Yeah, yeah. I'm six. This is Shelly. And I'm... Yes, says Sunny.
All right. Is Sunny, like, older?
No, she's definitely younger.
Oh, she's younger? Okay. Pat her on the head. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Josh is internally screaming, yes isn't a number.
It is to her.
Like, very much all internal. Like, he's not expressing it on his face or anything. Just, like, in his head, he's just like, yes isn't a number. This isn't okay.
It is when you're that young.
Yeah, that's why he's learning to slide.
I'm a grandmother.
Learn to count, kid.
Does Guy say that?
No, that's not in his accent.
Oh. You see.
God.
It is something that our old psychology teacher in high school, though, said about his own son. Almost, anyway. he like, you know, talking about how he, you know, very young child was just beginning to learn to say dada and yas. And he was like, man, that kid better learn to talk. Yeah, he was an interesting guy. The marriage should not last.
Oof. Big oof. Anyways.
One of these sessions I should establish an accent for Joshua that isn't my own voice.
Too late!
It's okay. Part of the beauty of D&D is the accents change every 5 minutes anyway, so it's fine.
That's fair.
But anyway. So yeah, you guys, you know, you just spend a little bit of time out there with the kids. And eventually, kind of hobbling back to the door, you guys notice through the glass, Emerald and Tisa kind of walking back. And so you do hear Tisa's voice. All righty, now, if you can get somebody to drink that, which good luck with that, it'll get the desired effect. Or if you can get them to breathe it in, that'll get the effects going there, too. But, yeah, with everything you've told me here today, I suppose we'll be getting on our way before too much longer. I do appreciate the heads up there, Emerald. And for what it's worth, I still think of you as a friend after all this. I think that goes both ways. Tisa, thank you for all that you've done. Everything being what it is, it's... Well, we won't forget this. Ah, there you go. Very well. I'm hard to forget. Ah! As they kind of come walking through the doors. Ah, look at all you, a lot. Looks like you're having fun with the dog here. A mite more entertaining than the big lobster back there, perhaps. Well,
what's a lobster?
The big pinchy fella. Claws.
The crawfish?
That's a crawfish.
You've never heard the term lobster before?
Do
you not know your history, Innie?
What's a lob?
Oh, no.
They're called crawfish because they're big fish that crawl. What's a lob?
Well, no, you're not wrong about that. A lob? You know,
I'm not
come
doing
to think of it.
Fucking accent.
A lobster would be something that lobs.
Exactly.
But what's a lob?
What's it throwing?
Alrighty, this is what you want to lob. Alrighty,
I've heard of hamsters.
It's okay. So hamsters hamp. So if you want to lob, here, come here, kiddies. You want to know how to lob. And at this point, you see Emerald just has, like, this, what the fuck? Look on her face, and she's, like, leaning up against the door. Alrighty, so here's how you lob. You get down on your hands and your knees, and you go and you crawl through the grass, and you pull one hand up above you, and you click, 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 click. And you see, these crawlfish, that's what they do. Hence, they're lobsters. Huh?
Yeah, hey, Errol, that's a crab.
I guess I can't argue with that logic.
I
crabs
guess.
Crabs don't walk sideways. Lobsters don't walk sideways. You're thinking of crabs.
I never said we were going sideways.
So
anyway,
you can't argue with that, I guess. Yeah. So
Joshua's just scratching his head, like, I don't think that's how that works, but okay.
I'm probably still gonna call him.
It makes sense when you think about it, kiddies.
I mean, yeah, doing the math, Josh, it seems to check out if that's what lobbing is.
You know, it makes more sense the less I think about it. So we should just go, I think.
That's a good way to think about it.
All right. So where are we going next? I look at the. Does she have like a jug of this stuff or?
Wait,
so
are we leaving already?
Yeah, Emerald's got a big. She's just got her big backpack on. So you don't necessarily see her with anything.
Okay.
Well, if we can go, seems like all roads lead back to Small Pal, right?
Well, there's not there's no roads here.
No, it's a saying, like how Alexandrians will always build roads back home. I see I was being clever here, making a turn of phrase, because all the stuff we gotta do is back in Small Pal.
But there's no road, so it's not clever.
Hey guys, Alistair dropped on us right here, so we lost a little bit of audio. The only thing that was really missed was the group talking about using the brew and the water to supply to see what the effects of that would be, and we address that here shortly. But we did take an impromptu 5-minute break from this event.
I was wondering if I would know it, but I was going to make a roll about the water supply and how much I would maybe know about it, and maybe if I knew about where it was slash how guarded it is and if it's viable to actually just pour it into it somewhere, potentially.
I would let you make a common knowledge check at like a -4 or an academics check at a -2.
Give me a sec, I'm looking.
I mean, realistically, how much would Abraham know about the town's water supply and its exact mechanics?
I agree. I just want the chance to roll.
Do you think that Joshua could roll research on the water supply, whether or not he knows how it works?
No, because you're not actually taking the time to research this at the moment.
Okay.
What if he did before a retroactive?
Then this would be that would be academics or common knowledge.
That's
probably
fair.
More academics.
All right, I got 11.
He sent it.
All right, a 5 and 11. However, this is academic with a -2.
-2, so I aced.
So yeah, that's you actually got a 9, which is an ace. Yeah, you would know. I mean, there is a little bit of a water purifying area that brings water from Dug Hole Lake and then distributes it through the town. Seemingly, though, it would be kind of hard to. Again, with your limited, you got to like see it one time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, somebody could distribute it through the water system that way.
Okay. Well, I'll just continue in the conversation we had before, where they were just like, she was asking about it, or I was like, is it a poisonous? And they were saying, no, it isn't. Well, is there a way that we could maybe put this in the water supply of Small Pile? As I like put my hands up in the air, like maybe that's an idea.
Are you saying that?
Yes, I'm saying that out loud.
Tisa's eyes go wide as soon as you say that. Not at all, that's not what this is here for. And Emerald's like, no, where are you? No, not at all.
Oh,
Why would you want to do that?
I thought that if the guards are drinking the water...
No, what are you talking about? That's insane. What are you trying to do, bring the Xandrians here and have them burn me? No, not at all. I want nothing to do with that. Emerald's like, calm down. I don't know where they're getting this from. That's not what we're doing.
Oh, okay. I just wanted
Kids,
everyone
look, I don't
to
know. I've been gone for a little bit. Crevice, you were saying something's happened. I don't know what's going on. I need all of you to calm down.
Look.
Okay, kids, look. One, you weren't even here today, okay?
Yeah,
we
weren't.
Didn't see any of this happen.
I agree.
I just need to talk with some of my friends and get them to cool down some of their ideas that they're having.
Oh!
That's all I'm trying to do.
Okay,
I don't know what you've seen.
It's just intentions. So you've been gone for 2 days, right?
Yes, I've been gone for 2 days. So, I didn't mean to be gone that long.
Tensions have risen to a point where the reason I mentioned that is that I think it would just be a good idea if everybody took a chill pill for a little bit, but that's just me.
What happened?
It might almost be too late,
what
to be honest.
What happened?
The shrine? Do you think it's probably already torn down by now? And no one's happy about that. And then there's also a bunch of there's tensions between the guards, it appears to be, from like the New Alexandrians with the people. It seems like something might be happening with that. That's all I was proposing. I put my hands up like I wasn't trying to do anything bad to everybody. I was just thinking everyone should chill.
I think they arrested the seer.
Yes, they also went and grabbed the seer.
Oh, boy.
They brought him in for questioning. I doubt they got too much from him.
Okay, we need to... Tisa, thank you again for all this. We need to go. I need to talk to Saul.
And that Phoenix guy was real interested in the little Weaver Den by the lake.
You see Tisa like completely go lock. Hey, did he found what now?
Yeah, the Weaver or the Phoenix definitely.
Okay, all of you, go. You're getting out of here now. Get out now.
Okay.
And you see her. All right, Sally, Sunny, come along. We've got to pack our things. Let's get going. So, at that point, you see Emerald. She's at this point gotten like a wooden staff crutch type thing. All right, kids, we gotta go. We gotta get back to town now.
All right. Yeah.
Go.
All
right. And so with that, you guys begin making your way back to you begin making your way back to Smallpile. You pass through some of the hills and whatnot, passing through some portions where the grass is a little bit thinner from some of the asphalt that it's trying to grow up and through. As you begin cresting a hill or whatever, you see that familiar dead tree, that crevice you actually saw one of the kids' faces from before. And it's at that point... you guys would all hear this whistling noise through the air. I need everyone to make me a notice check real quick.
I think Crevice just says duck.
Yeah, actually.
Because I think Danger Sense would come in here.
I also have Danger Sense.
Okay, so basically, Crevice, you get to make this check with a +2.
+2.
As do I.
So everyone but, it looks like, Guy and Crevice, unless I'm mistaken.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, it's as this is going on that you hear this whoosh, sound as suddenly... actually, I need a roll for Brawn.
One and a -1.
Yeah, not a crit fail at least, but he did fail. Okay, so with that, as you guys are all coming around the corner, you hear this whoosh, it's in Brawn, like, clutches his head and stumbles back, taking a rock to the head. As you guys now see... stepping from around the back of the tree and a couple of nearby rocks, you recognize the three kids that you had to deal with earlier this morning. Robinson, Jarrett, and Steve. Robinson is this kind of big, chunky 9-year-old. Jarrett's this rather unassuming 10-year-old, the one that Crevice saw before. And Steve is this... Josh, you would know he's your age, but he's got... definitely a bit more body weight on him, but most of it pure muscle. He's one of the farmhands, a very acneed face. And as you see him stepping around this tree, sling in hand, you notice that he's got a black eye as he's sticking around. And I'll let you can kind of place yourselves on the board where you see fit. Basically they're like, all right, Dad didn't like what happened earlier. And he said, after all that, we gotta keep an eye on you guys with everything that's going on. And so we saw it all. We saw you talking with that Weaver. We saw you guys going past that sign where it said not to go. And I just can't wait till we can get back to town and tell them all who the real rabble is.
Why would you tell us that instead of just doing it?
Y'all ain't very smart, are you?
Hey! Stop it!
Fucking skulls.
Okay, so if they already attacked Brawn with a rock, Prometheus is just gonna pick the guy who's the most his size and just fucking charge.
Get his ass!
I'm gonna finish setting up.
God.
Real quick.
Oh God.
You know, I never thought I'd advocate for the killing of a child that wasn't like possessed or something, but this could be a problem, guys.
Isn't there still an adult with us?
I was gonna say that.
Yes.
An adult with
Emerald is with you guys.
That's definitely not gonna let us kill any of these kids. Actually, she couldn't stop us, but we're not going to do that.
I mean, she's as likely to burn as anyone else here if they do run back and tell their story. Keep that in mind.
Ah, fuck.
Do they sling a rock at Bron?
So you would gather with what the big kid Steve was saying. Yeah, they saw everything you guys did today.
But the thing I was wondering is, did they took a sling and they shot a rock at Bron?
Correct.
Okay. Game on.
So they chose death.
We'll kill a motherfucker over Bron.
I mean, like this.
Kids, but
we can yes. This is very sensitive information, guys. I suggest at a minimum we beat them into unconsciousness and, like, leave them half buried in a ditch somewhere.
I'm already on it.
We can tie them up and, yeah, that type of thing. But anyways, we're in combat.
Who failed the notice check?
Me.
And
Bron, Guy, and Krevis, I believe.
Okay, so Bron, Guy, and Krevis, you guys are unfortunately, you will miss out on this turn.
Guy cannot shoot any kids yet.
All right. So with that, it is going to be Emerald, and she's just going to be, "What is going on? Who are you? No, stop! This can't be." All right. And she's kind of like at this point flustered, and as she basically goes to step forward, you then see her like collapse to the ground, clutching her leg. Ah, this can't be happening right now. Not now.
Very useful, Emerald.
And
shut the fuck up.
Don't
talk to my mom like that.
I forgot to roll for her, but I'm gonna say that's her failing the notice check on that, just retroactively. With that, it is going to be the kids' turn. So one, you're gonna see Steve walk forward, kind of here past the tree, and he's like, "All right, we saw what you guys did, and we gotta make a lesson out of you guys. You can't be doing what you did today, and especially you outsiders. Dad didn't like that I lost to that, so I gotta make that up." So
you didn't learn from last time, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, shut up, you! So I tell you what, I'll let the rest of you go, but we're taking this out. We're taking this out on Bron, and we're taking this out on that new weird kid. And you know they took your parents. Did you know that? You're gonna be the next one, and we're gonna take you in. What do you think about that?
What are you talking about, son?
Yeah, you know it. Come here, and I'll show you.
Abe's like, "Hold up, we don't need to all fight. You guys need to calm down," as I'm like saying that to them and the other side. Like,
gotcha. Well, with that, that is going to be their turn. They all basically, they stepped forward, and they've all taken the defensive action, giving them a +4 to their parry and so forth. So, with that, it would be Bron's turn, but you see Bron's just like clutching his head. Very, I'm going to say he is shaken right now. But he actually wouldn't even get to take his turn just yet. So
we have matching head wounds now.
Hey! Aww. What goes around comes around. All right, so with that, Rhea, it is your turn.
I am actually not going to do any attack moves. I'm just going to go, check on Bron and make sure he's okay.
Okay. As you get to Bron, he's just like clutching his head, kind of going, "Oh, what happened?" And you can move yourself towards Bron. Bron is right here. So, all right. Is there anything you'd like to do?
No.
Okay.
Just making sure that he's just trying to comfort Bron.
All right. If you'd like, you can make a medicine check.
All right. Give me a hot second.
And actually, Rhea, it's actually fitting then that this is your turn. So it is about this time that you're going to check on Bron. All the shit's going down. Emerald is kind of losing her mind right now, trying to make sense of all this. Bron's confused. I'd imagine, Guy, you look very nervous right now, having heard what the rabble just said, right? What Steve just said, right?
More angry than nervous.
Okay. So Rhea, you see all this going on. Everyone's kind of freaking out, getting their weapons or ready, angry. There's a lot of emotions going on. Even Canis is down on the ground growling, cackles raised or whatever. And it's about that time, Rhea, you hear this very loud clap of thunder and the distant sound of lightning. And there had been some of that before, but definitely not that. It noticeably, for you, gets relatively dark and the sky lights up with kind of this orangish light.
Well, that's not ominous.
The rest of you, however, do not see this. Prometheus, it's your turn.
Okay. So, seeing them attack Bron and just be all mean, you guys have never seen Prometheus this pissed off. He is going to not draw any weapons but just charge at the guy in the front. I mean, he's going for a straight up tackle. So I would like to maneuver close as I can to him. I just got more movement speed, so I should be able to get to him.
Oh, nice. Which translates, you have a 40-foot movement speed, basically.
Oh, sweet. I'm gonna go fucking tackle this bitch.
Okay. Get his ass!
Gotcha.
Okay, and then I'm gonna use my martial artist edge.
Yeah, so you just go running up to this kid. Basically, fists at the ready. Go ahead and make me a fighting check.
All right.
All right, so that is a 4 and a 5. You also get a +1 to it, so that's actually a 5 and a 6. That definitely hits. You can go ahead and roll damage.
Break his nose.
Oh, you know what? Actually, Mitch, that did not land because he took the defensive thing.
I was wondering. Okay, I will roll a Benny then to see if I can hit him.
Okay, do so. All right, you still got a 5 and a 2, which does not hit.
Using another one. This is important to me. God damn it. How many do I have?
That is a 2 and a 6. 4.
Yeah, I'm going to keep going.
All right, so if you
see... There it is.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, there is the Prometheus.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So
I
retroactively...
Used, like, 3 of them. Okay.
So that's still a 12. 17. So not only that, that double aces, and that's a 12. So 8, 12. Yeah, so actually, you get to roll an additional 2d6 with your damage there, friend.
Hey, Errol, are we secretly like the bastard sons of Mars or Ares or something?
I mean, he does have the whole Greek name going there, so...
Yeah.
Maybe.
9.
All right, so you do 9...
Plus the 7.
Okay, how do you want to do this?
Oh, okay. Jesus.
So, this is the kid who had the black eye?
Yes.
Okay,
He's definitely the biggest kid, too. He's, like, almost... He's 15 to your 10.
Okay, I want to give him another black eye and knock him the fuck out.
Okay,
so
as
we're not
he's saying
the
this,
children noted.
Kind of like you know, like yeah, we're gonna take you in too. You just kind of come out of nowhere, and I like to imagine you do this, hey-ya! As you just like jump sideways from the other side of the tree, gaining that air, and then just nail him square in his left eye, which he takes, and then falls over backwards, probably falling back like an extra 5 feet for the purposes of the tabletop.
Superhero landing.
Basically, and he's just laying there on the ground, and you see the other two kids like, what the heck? This wasn't supposed to go like that. Now, Josh, it's your turn.
Having seen that, Josh to go up there and basically get his attention to distract him and everything, just kind of stands there like, Jesus Christ, that way to go, Theus! And yeah, he's just like gonna take a couple steps toward him and just to watch him work at this point, because I'd like Josh was now just like a proud dad at this particular moment. Like, damn, that was awesome.
At this point, you see Emerald at that, as you're like kind of got your proud dad like, well, I guess this is taking care of the problem.
That's gonna be Joshua's turn, just standing there like, damn.
All right, Crevice, your turn.
Crevice is going to... are there just, like, rocks around that we could pick up and throw?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to dig through the grass. It's worth noting, like, some of you guys are having to stand up and above this grass. Well, no, at this point, near the tree, the grass had died down a little bit, so...
Okay, Crevice is going to move over there.
Okay, you feel free to move yourself on the board.
And,
into the giant cluster of massive bennies that have fallen from the heavens.
They're just sleeping. It's fine. He wants to pick up a rock and throw it at Purple.
Okay. Yes, that would be at kind of this bigger kid. He's actually only about your age. Has kind of a messy shock of brown hair. He's the one that got hit in the face with a Kalimba earlier.
Loser.
But yeah, you may go ahead and throw a rock at him. Make me, I believe that is a throwing check.
Oh yeah, him untrained, so we're just gonna fucking... Yeah, we did not succeed on that one there, Chief.
Yeah, that's a 1 and a 2. So you do pick this rock up, and it's just kind of this, yeah, as it kind of basically like falls short at his foot. And at this point, he's looking at Steven, and he's like, hey, don't do that! don't know. Alrighty. Is that going to be your turn, Kravis?
Yeah, that's it.
Alrighty. Guy, it's up to you, bud. And your faithful dog, Canis.
Okay, quick question. I thought I missed my first round because I was surprised or something.
Oh, yeah, you've
yeah, I should have yeah, I should have missed mine as well. Actually, thank you.
It's fine. Nothing became of it, yeah. So I'll tolerate. I'm more.
I'll move back.
I just want to get through this next scene. But Abraham, it's your turn, buddy.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and step in front of Bronn, almost in a way of like, hey, you don't need to get involved in this. We've got this type of thing. Like trying to also like try in a protective manner. But I'm also going to pick up a rock off the ground. Which one of these guys had a slingshot?
That would be the one who's currently been just knocked flat without, yeah, for all okay. that he made a big show. He's down.
Are either of these guys also holding slingshots, or are they just kind of there?
No, you do see, like, you can't really see him over here. This kid has, like, a baseball bat.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to hit that. I'm going to shoot a rock at this kid with my slingshot. Do that, shoot him, and then I'll move back to Bronn after.
So this would be at a -6, Abraham.
Oh my god. Okay, never mind. What I'll do, before I move, I'm going to tell Bronn, we got this. As I, like, tell him, like, a motion of, like, kind of stay, and then I'll move up so I can make the shot better. I'll move up to, like, right here.
All right, now it's only going to be at a -2.
A 5.
That hits, right?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I'll hit him with a rock. 1d4 plus a d4 or just plus 4?
Plus strength
plus d4.
Okay, so just 2d4. 6.
Six. One of those exploded.
Oh, you're
yes,
right.
Yes, it did. Now, I'm going to assume you're going for... it exploded again.
Do it again.
Non-lethal,
yes. I'm assuming you're not trying to kill him.
If anything, hit him in the leg or something
kill
to make sure
him,
he can't run.
Kill him! Kill him!
11 damage.
That's an 11.
All right. How do you want to take him out?
Abe.
In the kneecap.
Abe is still kind of new to, shooting slingshots and such. He takes it and he goes to shoot and he actually hits, he was aiming for center of mass, but he actually aims a little bit too low and hits the kid in the balls.
Oh god.
So he just kind of drops.
Okay, so you see this kid who honestly in a lot of ways he's like a slightly smaller version of you, and he's got his baseball bat and he's looking over like, Steve? And then that's as he does that, like his stance goes a little wide, he's not necessarily being as defensive as he should be. And that's where, yeah, your aim is just a little shot, hits him square between the legs, and then he just falls wheezing, squealing probably about 3 octaves higher than he normally should.
I didn't mean to hit you there. Oh god.
He is completely unresponsive.
There ain't no law. You don't need to be reproducing.
I'm just thinking I'm really glad I didn't use a ball bearing. Holy crap.
Alright. Bronn is going to try to unshake himself. He succeeded! Yay! Okay, cool. So yeah, with that, Bronn, kind of hearing what you said, he's at least curious, and he's going to kind of walk up and just be, What is happening? And he's actually just going to walk up here next to you.
It's okay.
And he's kind of, he's actually at this point dropped the mace that he collected earlier.
Okay, very good, very good. Don't need him.
So he doesn't actually have that, but he's just, what, why?
They're just being mean. We need to, we gotta make sure they don't do what they're trying to do.
Okay.
Also, wouldn't the top of the initiative be Emerald?
Yep, they sure did. Well, these two are out. So this kid, okay, and actually this is getting us to a good point. He seen his friend, Steve? Jarrett, and this is Robinson, the kind of bigger kid, he's gonna actually start backing up, and it is about that point, you guys would all actually hear kind of this whooshing sound, a familiar whooshing sound that you heard, from before, as, something takes to the top of the tree here in the center. As you guys look up, you see a somewhat familiar individual. At first you thought it was a woman before she sprouted 2 large bat-like wings and flew away. You see this person standing there, covered in brown fur with a red V kind of coming from their shoulders down to their chest. Although you can see their chest, instead of being that, is actually it's almost like a second set of shoulders. Is where their pecs should be, and those are what becomes the wings. As you see this, her face is relatively attractive, And she kind of looks down to all of you and is like, "Ha! Well, kiddies, I see that you've all got a bit of a party going here. Nice to get it all started before we showed up." As it is then, about that time, stepping out from behind this boulder here, you see this gargantuan of a fellow lumbering forward, probably a solid 8 foot tall, holding a big metal chain that's very twisted. As he then basically sends it skimming across the ground or whatever, you hear the poor kid Robinson scream as this thing collides with his leg. You actually, I'm not going to describe it too much, but you basically see his leg bend in a way that it absolutely should not as he falls to the ground, and this thing kind of walks over, kind of picks him up by the shirt collar and then hoists him over his leg, turns to look towards you guys, and you can see its left eye as it should be, but its mouth actually kind of curls up with this whole just like maw full of fangs as it even like bends up into where his one of his eyes should be. Hearing all that go on and whatnot, you guys are noticing coming over the hillside kind of to your top right over here, there's this huge a relatively large group of various assorted burly individuals of all shapes and sizes, and stepping out amongst them, you see this relatively tall, tall green, this green individual, can't make out all his details, but as he steps forward, you hear him say, "Well, well, well, oh, the world's a dream and ours the nightmare," as you then begin hearing murmuring almost in the air completely around you, "Boom, chaka, boom, boom,
oh, no.
Chaka, laka, chaka," and that is where we're going to end today's session.
Oh,
fuck.
No.
Not this again! No.
I know my first
no.
action. I know it.
No!
To run the fuck away?
Bron, grab Emerald, we're leaving.
Alright, I definitely... Oh my gosh, I feel like I flubbed this session up so...
Nah,
well.
It's
why
great.
Must
yeah.
hurt, why,
it
why
awesome.
Must you hurt us this way again?
But thank you guys for sticking around. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Oh,
you,
yes.
You had us just... make these kids unable to run just so they could all die. God.
But we aren't the ones that killed them, so it's not our fault.
It's really well done, Errol, but I am in a bit of agony here.
Yeah.
You're in agony?
Well, yeah, slightly, you know, like, these guys are assholes. I'm not sure they deserve to be eaten by mutants.
Oh.
I am. Yeah. I'm fully willing to let them die.
I mean, yeah, Hey, guys, would you look at that? You made it to the end of the episode. Has it already been 10 days since our last upload? Oh, man. Life is a funny thing, isn't she? But here we are, and we're just gonna keep plugging along like nothing happened. So, yeah, just getting down to brass tacks on this a little bit. Let's get the normal accreditations out of the way. The primary piece of music that you're hearing for our intro and things of that nature are going to be The Wasteland by Mr. Ross Bugden. You can find the link to it down below, and it is licensed under the 4.0 Creative Commons thing. And yeah, be sure to check him out on YouTube. He's a cool dude, makes awesome, amazing music that makes this sound a lot better. Additionally, ahem.
This game references the Savage Worlds game systems available from Pinnacle Entertainment Group at www.pygames.com. It is unofficial media content permitted under the Media Network Content Agreement. This content is not managed, approved, or endorsed by Pinnacle Entertainment Group. Certain portions of the materials used are the intellectual property of Pinnacle, and all rights are reserved. Savage Worlds, all related settings and unique characters, locations, and characters, logos, and trademarks are copyrights of Pinnacle Entertainment Group.
We also used Volatile Reaction by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under the Creative Commons 3.0 license, and you can find more details about it in the description. But... those accreditations aside, there's one final one I want to give, and that is I want to give a massive shout out to someone by the name of Tieth. They provided the amazing artwork that you may see in the podcast here, either on our YouTube or otherwise, as our probably new little avatar thingy. They did an amazing job. I'm going to include a link to their website in the description to this, and yeah, you should go check them out. They are great people. But other than that, thank you guys so much for listening in, and take care. See you guys next time.